Psalm 62 is an expression of strong confidence in God. The psalm has several statements of a bedrock faith and also statements about how unreliable it is to trust in people. If this is a psalm of David, I can imagine King David reflecting on his life as a political leader as he weathers the attacks and betrayals that are often part of that arena. I wonder if this poem was written during a time of disappointment when his own family members plotted against him, overthrow him as king. My guess is that at one time or another, many of us have been in a friendship or part of an organization or business or even part of a family when we have felt betrayed and alone. How do we find the strength to carry on? Psalm 62, a psalm of David, offers these images and sentiments. God alone is my salvation. God alone is my rock. There are times when I grow very tired of the mask that people wear as they say one thing to my face, but they don't really mean it. Silence is golden. I find rest in God alone. God is my rock, my fortress, my salvation, my mighty rock, my refuge. God is strong, loving, rewarding good works. Humanity is unreliable. Don't trust in people, trust in God. This psalm and many other of Israel's poems proclaim God as the final sanctuary from the storms of life. When there is nowhere else to turn, one finds solace and rest in the presence of the ground of being. There seems to be an awareness in this poetry that all of life and being are lodged within God. Dwelling within God is ultimately a place of security and deep rest where the distractions of troubling relationships can be put aside. Dwelling within the divine presence puts social differences in perspective. Whether one has a high social status or low social status does not matter. All the efforts to maintain or change that status count for nothing in the economy of God. There's a sense of kenosis or of self-emptying in Psalm 62. God is all in all, and humankind is diminished in the divine presence. Diminished, but fulfilled. In recognition that humankind dwells within God and God's spirit and image live in us. As Christians, we find that truth expressed in the life and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. The kingdom of God is within you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Paul's statement in Galatians 2 echoes this sentiment in a Christological way. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In Christ, Paul is diminished but fulfilled. And we can also be fulfilled as we turn toward that truth that our lives are more complete as we live in and toward the presence of God. Like the writer of Psalm 62, the Apostle Paul struggled with relationships. He struggled with church leaders. He got into trouble with civic authorities. He was eventually executed by the empire. His letter to the Jewish Christian community in ancient Galatia offers a glimpse of his lack of social grace. He begins his letter with a greeting, "Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." However, this letter is anything but grace and peace. It is a letter of confrontation and counsel to the Galatian church because they're turning away from his teaching. Paul calls the Galatians brothers and sisters and friends, but he also calls them foolish and bewitched. He writes about confronting Peter and the other apostles in Jerusalem over his teachings. The big debate was whether one who chose to follow the way of Jesus also had to follow the law of Moses, specifically regarding circumcision. Some teachers had come into the town saying, you had to do both, And Paul said, no way. Christ brings the freedom of life in the Spirit. And so in Galatians, we see the tension in the early Christian movement, the Jesus movement, that would eventually take Judaism and Christianity down separate paths. They still had much in common, but they would become different traditions, different religions. Paul was right in the middle of that discussion and influenced the course of Christianity as he taught about the difference between following the law and following Christ. Paul's writings brought Augustine into the Christian fold. Paul's writings sparked Martin Luther's Protestant movement. Paul's writings continue to influence the church. Not everyone likes Paul's writings. I think if you go into most Mennonite churches, we don't spend a lot of time with Paul. Paul wrote, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. Support of slavery. Paul wrote, the Jews killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets. Anti-Semitism. Paul wrote, as in all the churches of the saints, women should be silent in the church. I hear chuckles. It seems like maybe some of you think differently about that. In other places, he said, in Christ, there's no difference between male and female, Jew or Greek, or slave or free. He contradicts himself. So what do you do with the Apostle Paul? Why do I pay attention to this guy at all? Some say flat out, Paul was wrong. Others say that he was writing letters to particular congregations in certain kind of circumstances. And I think both perspectives are helpful in interpreting Paul and reading his writings. But some of our most profound and moving insights into the Christian faith have come from the writings of Paul. Paul uses the phrase in Christ over 100 times in his letters. He used the phrase in the Spirit more than 15 times. And these phrases refer to a way of life centered in Christ in the Spirit. What is Paul saying when he writes the following phrase to the Galatians? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is not a view of the cross that we get from the gospel writings, which mostly offer a description of the death of Jesus by crucifixion. The Apostle Paul helps us understand the cross in a way that goes beyond vicarious sacrifice and suffering on our behalf. Paul's writing about the crucifixion of Jesus reveals four things. And I borrow from Marcus Borg, the theologian, on this, but he leaves out a couple of things. Number one, the cross reveals the character of the empire. What kind of politics would hang a person like Jesus on the cross? Number two, the cross reveals the nonviolent response of Jesus to the violence of the empire. The cross means that Jesus chose peace as the path of faith in God. And that's unique to the Anabaptist Mennonite movement, who sees the cross as an ethic for how we respond to evil. Number three, the cross is a symbol of the path to personal transformation. Number four, the cross reveals the character of God. The theologian Marcus Borg talks about it in this way. This phrase from Paul, I have been crucified with Christ, is a picture used by Paul to talk about personal transformation. This is metaphorical language for personal transformation, a radical internal change. The old way of being and doing has been changed into something new. There has been an internal loss, a dying to self, an identity transplant, if you will. And this was Paul's own experience. Jesus was literally crucified. Paul had not been. Paul had experienced an inner crucifixion, an internal death. The old Paul had died and the new Paul had been born. It even changed his name from Saul to Paul to signify that new identity. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And Paul also had mystical experiences of communion with the risen Christ. So he put the cross and the risen Christ together. Those two are hand in hand for him. Paul sees baptism as a symbol of dying and rising, dying to old self and rising to a new life that identifies with the way of Jesus and communes with that spirit of Jesus. Later in Galatians, Paul writes that the fruit of dwelling in the spirit of Christ is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against those things. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters, and that our lives can be fruitful together as we follow the way of Jesus, dying to self and living in the spirit of Christ within us. Amen.